Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Jane Fawcett, Sarah Wells, and Kevin Tingan is unable to be here, but we brought in somebody much funnier, Cam Belachy.
That is the inappropriate way to announce me, but thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my boss.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
Why is that the inappropriate way to announce
me? I thought the reason you brought me is Kevin and I look so much alike.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have heard that before.
People mix us up a lot.
Yeah.
Did you know that when you were on the show before, I believe you were Cam Avadikian? No?
I think so.
You talked about your fiance.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot.
Oh, name
I
change.
Believe you were on the second episode of all time.
I think so. Yeah. I think I'm one of the first podcast guests.
And were you engaged?
I was engaged.
And just be careful, Cam, because I was the first spoutcast.
Don't step on
GF
territory.
True. I keyed.
But I believe Cam was the first guest in the studio.
All right.
This is true.
Yeah.
I do. That is
actually, you were the third guest. It went Jane, Brian, then you.
Okay.
And you were the first one in the studio.
Yeah. Okay. So I do believe it was more like Andrew Belachy was the guest that day, though.
I told you this numerous times. Biggest man crush.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I would say like Andrew Belachy and now Carl Deese he's climbing.
Oh,
he's climbing the charts.
Carl, it's the mustache, isn't it?
Oh. No, it's just he has this aura of like cool.
Aura.
Yeah. Aura. It's just like I look at him and I go, man, he is cool. So do you guys all get that? No?
No, I mean, I think he's cool.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, Cam, you're going to stick in the whole show, right?
Yeah, I'm sticking around.
All right. So, Kevin Tinkin's out. He's going to be around a lot over the summer just because his wife is not going to be teaching, so we don't have to find a babysitter. But Cam is a good number two, so.
Pretty good.
Glad to be your number two.
She's our gout free.
That's right.
I'm the fallback girl.
I spoke at a baccalaureate last night, and like two of the students who asked me to do it,
Brett and Cody,
holla. Yeah, they asked me. They were like, "Hey, man, do you mind speaking at this baccalaureate?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Thanks so much." He's like, "Oh, good, because we asked like a ton of athletes at the school, and they said no. We asked the teacher at Buchanan, and he said no. And we asked Jordan Deepersloot, and he said no." Hey, you guys even want me to speak? Or what? Yeah.
Well, they didn't ask me, so I guess that's saying something.
Didn't go that far down the chain, but
hey, those are my boys.
Yeah. So on this episode, we've got some fun things to talk about. We're going to talk about headship and head coverings from the sermon last night. We actually have a great photo that we want to share.
We do.
Check the website or the Instagram because it's funny, and I actually laughed. And that means it's funny.
Wow. The standard of funny has spoken.
Cam is going to stick around. We're going to chat with her about her new role at The Well as Connections Director. And Jane, this is your boss. So
she's my boss. Yeah. I'm a very proud
She's not
employee.
my boss. Can I not be in line then?
Yeah.
No, yeah. You
I'm
can be all over the
yell
place.
At you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then at the very end, we'll close out the show with kind of some announcements and whatnot. But glad you're sticking around, Cam. Most guests don't stick around the whole time. So this is how much we like you.
Thank you. Hey, I feel very honored.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Didn't mean to interrupt
That's okay.
You.
Don't interrupt, Jane.
Hey. Sorry, boss. What's the music?
The music this week is from a guy. His name is Rob Patterson. He's a friend of mine from Santa Cruz. And I was listening at The Grind, and Sarah actually happened to see me at The Grind. And this was the music that happened to be on my iPod. And I thought it was funny that you were there. And I was like, oh, let's just play this for the music.
So, I thought you were going to say Rob Pattinson.
Like, no, Patterson. Not the guy from Twilight.
I got you, but I thought you were going to say
That's
Pattinson.
Next week, Rob Pattinson.
Oh, perfect. So, dream me.
Yeah. All right, enjoy some Rob Patterson, and we'll get back with some sermon discussion. And ladies, if you could put your head coverings on, would that be all right?
Done and done.
All right.
Faithful God, I know you love me because the God I know never tell me to go. The wandering heart and fickle mind will never make you be unkind, cause I am yours and you are mine eternally. You are good, you
love endures. You are good, your love endures forever. You're good, your love endures.
It's the issue of head coverings in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I say it's the issue of head coverings. Some of you are new to the Bible, like, I don't even know what that is. Don't sweat it. Most of us don't, but we at least have heard about it. We know enough about it to have a hot sports opinion, but it may or may not be based upon the text itself. It impacts the way we do church even today. For example, if I said, hey, let's pray, how many of you would, if you had a hat on, reach for your hat to take it off without even thinking of why? How many of you would reach to the hat to the young person next to you to take it off of them without even really knowing why? Or if you should, it comes from this text. Where the Bible speaks clearly, we need to have the courage to speak clearly with it. Where the Bible is vague, we need to be honest.
That was a clip from Brad's sermon from this past Sunday about head coverings. It is 1 Corinthians 11:2. It actually starts in verse 2, and I believe it goes all the way to verse 16 or 17. And Brad kind of went through the entire scripture, which really deals with headship and this concept of headship, and also this concept of head coverings. And it was really two sermons. The first half was dealing with headship and really what does headship mean, and the second half was dealing with culture. And culturally back then, women should put on this head covering when people come over for church, but women are like, they kind of had the, like, why should I do that? What, I don't, this is my house. I don't need to put a head covering on. But it's the concept still that we're still talking about of just because you can doesn't mean you should. And then Brad kind of in the second half talked about culturally, what are our head covers essentially? And so let's maybe camp on the first half and then we'll kind of work our way to the second half. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So any initial thoughts on the sermon? Brings up a lot of different things, but really the issue of headship is, Brad's argument would be that the issue of headship is not cultural. So headship has been around since Genesis 3, when man and woman were around, and it's kind of gone through there, and head coverings was more the cultural piece to it. So this headship piece, meaning that a man should have a headship within a husband-wife context, and really something he said that I think he's mentioned before is when a woman leads, a man won't. Is that what he said?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I really loved his description of the relationship between a man and his wife, comparing it to the relationship between God and Christ. Mm. And I thought that was really just a beautiful picture of, because I think we don't really have before I didn't really have like a picture or a model for submission, what it looks like and the value of each partner. I think a lot of times we hear submission and immediately women feel disempowered by that. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the relationship between God and Christ, you would never look at Christ and look at him and say, oh, he's not empowered or not respected or not honored, mm-hmm. In the relationship between him and God. So I thought that was a really cool picture.
Yeah, he used the example of the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And totally. I think using kind of analogies like that really helped bring into picture what is submission. And you brought up like this concept of if a man submits to Christ, therefore a woman should submit to her husband in that kind of way. But typically men sometimes don't submit to Christ. And so what happens is a woman will just eventually start leading the family or leading their marriage. Mm-hmm. And Brad's kind of point of view is like, if you do that, he won't lead in a sense. Right?
Right.
So what were your thoughts, Jane?
I liked the like teachable parts of it where he talked about like, prostitutes being the ones who have a shaved head or short hair or whatever. And like, tying in those like historical things about it, I really like those things. So to bring that up was cool.
I've never heard this sermon in the context of the whole just because you can doesn't mean you should type thing. And that was interesting because of kind of what PJ's message was. And one of the things that Brad said was just because you can lead in your family doesn't mean you should lead. And I don't know, Brad always brings up like, how they portray men in culture today, like the Tim Allens of the world from like home, what was that show? Home Improvement or whatever.
Yeah. And dating yourself.
I'm dating myself a little bit.
Yeah, no one knows Home Improvement anymore. Or at least high schoolers don't.
Oh. Well,
or what's his new show with the teenage daughters? Does he still have that show?
Not even. Like, I think Home it got canceled.
With girls. Did it get really? Canceled? Yeah, it's like the same show.
Man.
So, yeah, anyways. So it's just, you know, the men get portrayed as these oafs or whatever, and then, you know, the men feel like, well, I don't know what to do, and so they end up not doing anything, and the reality is, you know, it's just like, this is almost an empowerment to the men of like, man, start leading your family, mm-hmm. start being the head the way that Christ intended you to be the head of your family, and submit to God just like Christ submits to God, and that's how God designed it. That's how marriage was supposed to be designed. That's what this concept of headship is, and I thought that was a good point to bring up, and I just think that you know, in this concept of headship, guys typically, I don't know, like we just, I feel like I can sometimes be lazy. Is that bad to say?
No, I was kind of wondering what you thought about just that idea that for guy, maybe because our culture has this standard of the, like this macho camacho kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like it's hard then for guys to like be servant leaders in the church? Like, do you think that like understanding that and becoming that is more challenging because of our culture, or do you feel like our culture helps that?
I don't think our culture promotes servant leadership.
Right. I mean, but yeah, so I guess what kind of leadership do you think our culture promotes, mm-hmm. and like how do we address that?
Self-centered leadership.
Yeah.
So like what's right for you, do what's best for you, and then serve others if it's convenient. You know, I would say that's what our culture says.
I would say maybe our culture, or what I feel a lot of times, and I share with you guys this before, is I feel like sometimes I get in this mode of like a leader in a family is like the controller of the family. They control everything. And it's almost this tyrant type thing. And it's like, well, where does that come from? Well, it just comes from, I think, media and everything that's out there. You just feel like why serve when you can just control every situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that's sometimes the road I go down, and it's really unhealthy. And it does not make anybody want to submit to you, because you're like, well, I just ultimately have to because you're controlling me. You know what I mean? And so,
and I think that also goes towards like knowing your own personality type and your own weaknesses, because I know lots of guys who would never struggle with being controlling, they would struggle with letting her control, you know? And so just knowing where your own bents are and where your strengths can potentially become a weakness, because you're a great leader. And the flip side of it, you can struggle. And I'm not saying you just said it out loud. Struggle with being controlling, you know? So just knowing where your personal weaknesses are. And I think it's so interesting how like this all comes back down to the curse. Like women want to rule over their husbands, and husbands will want to let them rule over, you know, and that just comes back down to the garden and what we struggle with now.
Yeah. And you know, what was cool is that Brad actually brought it back to even before the Garden of Gethsemane, or yeah. not the, sorry, the Garden of Good and Evil. Mm-hmm. And he brought it back to the fall of Satan and right. the fall of Satan from kind of the heavenly realm. Mm-hmm. And it brings back this concept of sin. What is kind of the root of sin? And it's not necessarily this Satan telling Eve you should eat, but it's more like, Satan tried to at one point be God. Mm-hmm. And when he couldn't, he's like, well, I'm out of here. Yeah. And so God kicks him out of heaven along with a third of the heavenly, you know, angels or whatever. And sin comes from this nature of, I'm trying to think of what Brad said, us trying to play God, us trying to mm-hmm. be God, us trying to almost lead our lives without God in it.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's why we sin, is because we think this is way more fun than what you told me to do.
And because we're focusing on ourselves and not the headship of Christ mm-hmm. over us.
Right.
Well, and it's so interesting, I think, living in our society, because we have a kingless society. You know, yeah. we have a society that's free and equal. And so that compared to societies of the past that had like a king that ruled over them, they kind of had this model for them. This like mm-hmm. you submit to your leadership in a totally different way than we understand. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder like how much that affects our understanding of like God as king or ruler or authority. Like we don't have that kind of yeah. authority in our lives necessarily, like modeled in our culture.
I will say this, like, and I don't know how Andrew feels, but in the context of marriage, man, I don't really know what it means to be the head of a family. You know, I don't really know what it means to be like a spiritual leader. And you bring up an example of somebody or something, and it's like, boy, everybody kind of leads their family differently.
Yeah.
And everybody does stuff with their family, and they go, well, that's what it means to be a spiritual leader. And I go, meh, I don't know if I'd do that, you know? Yeah. So I don't know like what that is. And there's no real example other than how Christ treats the church.
Yeah.
And so that is almost like this. It's vague, but it's all there. And so I'm 3 years in and I'm still trying to figure that out. And I feel like I'm just, try hard, do good, fail. And I just feel like that is my life, you know? And I'm only, and no kids. And I'm just like, boy, I better get this together. But I just feel like I'll obviously probably never get there. But as long as my example is Christ, and as long as I think I'm submitting to God in my life, then I think I'll figure it out along the way. But I don't know, as a guy and being newly married, it's very difficult to understand what does it mean to be the head of your family.
Yeah, and I think it is different for each person. That's okay.
Right.
Like God's created everyone so differently. Because for us, I feel like Andrew is very much a quiet leader. Like he's very strong, but the way he leads is by example, and he leads out front in service. So a lot of people from the outside looking would be like, oh, he doesn't lead strong. I don't have a lot of commands coming down. You know, there's a lot, like, I can't think of it.
Do the dishes, Cam.
Right. Like we haven't had a time in our marriage I can think of that Andrew's been like, you need to submit to me on this. Cause we just kind of move together in oneness.
Right.
But I think spiritual leadership just looks different. I know some guys in some other marriages I've seen that like a guy leads really strong and he makes every decision and that's works for them. That's the way their marriage works. That's leadership for him, for that man. And that woman who chose to come underneath him comes underneath him. Like it just looks different for different people.
Totally.
And my in-laws always said that to us. Like every marriage is different and ultimately we're all submitted to God. And hopefully, you know, that authority in our lives plays out different, but there is that freedom there to lead differently.
Yeah. And I think in that Brad's caution to women would be, look, he may not know how to lead or he may not be very good at it or he may not do it at all. If that is the case, do not assume the role and lead the family kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a caution to single women. Be mindful of the kind of leader you are choosing. When you get married, you're choosing to come under someone's leadership. And if you're having a hard time coming under or understanding, you know, certain personalities going into marriage or through dating, like that's what dating is for, is to see like, can you come under this person's leadership and authority and wear that head covering essentially? Can you wear that proud and can you come underneath that?
So where in a dating relationship, and maybe this is a good analogy, where in a dating relationship, Sarah, you're in a dating relationship. Is that public?
Yeah, it is now.
How do you know that? How do you get into a conversation where you have to, like, you want to see how they lead? You know what I mean? And I think that when you're in a dating relationship, you get this person a lot of times in a one-on-one context. You don't necessarily get to see them in their leadership capacity. Mm-hmm. So what is a situation that you could go, let's see how he leads in this way? Any thoughts? I don't know.
I don't know if it comes with conversations. It all comes with watching because you can say anything, but what you do is totally different. And so.
But how are you watching them lead? In what context?
Well, my situation is a little different because I've known him my whole life. So I've seen him lead in high school group, in his job, with his friends, with family, with a lot of different things. So the parts where I like have been most impressed, I guess, or the part where that like showed me his like strongest leadership qualities were in times of crisis, or times where it's not easy to make the right choice or not easy to lead or, you know, stand firm on something. But watching him do that, that's when I saw his best leadership skills, I guess. Or and even he's a teacher. So just in the way that he tells me about his students and the ways the conversations he has with them. This isn't going to be about Luke, but this is just how I see him lead in those situations. So I feel like I know his leadership style really well just from watching him live.
No, I think it's good that Cam brought up that point for single women who are about to enter a relationship. And it's like, look, if you're marrying someone who can't lead, recognize just sin nature is that you're going to want to take over leadership.
Yeah.
So therefore, maybe that's not the right relationship for you. And if it is, maybe nudging this person a little bit in the right direction, in my opinion.
And something else that I wanted to touch on, I remember growing up in church and thinking male leadership looks like this. He is a Bible study leader and he prays in front of everyone and he does this, this, and this. And then I realized
that's correct.
And then someone, an older woman in my life, she said, Sarah, you just described a personality type. You didn't describe godliness. And realizing the difference between godliness and just personality. Like, I like guys that can take charge. That doesn't mean he's more godly than the servant behind the scenes, you know?
Totally.
So that was a big realization for me, is what exactly you're looking for in godliness versus just personality.
And Brad said this before, but I thought it was really good that you can't lead someone where you haven't been. So right. I think part of what you can look at in a person is how they lead themselves or any people that come under them. So it's, even if they don't have anyone else that is falling under their leadership, they have to lead themselves. So how do they manage their life, and how is their temperament played out in the daily struggles of life? That'll tell you a lot about the way that they'll handle it when you're together and going through that.
Because nothing changes after you say I do and put a ring on their finger. They're still the exact same person they were 10 minutes ago. So you just get to live with them and like all day long now.
Yeah.
In the areas where you don't know to lead or how to lead, counseling is very good. So just tossing that out there.
Can we all just give a shout out to counseling?
We need a whole something.
We love counseling.
Now switching gears a little bit into kind of the second half of the sermon. This was more of a caution to women. If coming from the context of head coverings were a cultural thing, Jane brought up earlier that without putting the head coverings on, some men would look at these women and think of them maybe as prostitutes, because in your own home, you don't need to wear a head covering. And so, but churches were meeting in these people's homes. There's 20, 30 people in there, and guys are going, what's up with that girl? You know what I mean? Because she doesn't have a head covering on. So Paul is saying, hey, just put some head coverings on, and you know, I know it's your own home, but the reality is you may be causing people to stumble. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So it's that kind of concept. And that's the cultural context 2000 years ago. What is the cultural context today? Kind of women's clothing, how women portray themselves, especially Christian women. Mm-hmm. Brad mentioned that he's teaching from the stage and he'll look into the audience, and some sections you can't even look at. And I have taught one time, and that was like, I totally know what he's talking about. Mm. And it's like 7 o'clock service. And I was like, wow, I need to look in another section right now. You know, and that's just like, I can see where he's coming from. And I think it was just a clear, like, I don't know if I'd say a call out, but more just like, be aware of what you're wearing. Modesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think that he kind of touched on a couple different audiences too. Like, there are women who are just completely, I think, naive about the power of their sexuality and how much weight that does carry, and what they are saying about who they are essentially in the way that they're presenting themselves. Not to like judge a book by its cover, but anyone, like, you dress like a banker, you look like, you know, the kind of thing, like you put on a 3-piece suit and you're walking around town. So, I mean, I think it's what we say, the way we present ourselves on Facebook in life is conveying a message. What do you want that message to be? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really interesting. I think there is another audience of people who, I think if you are aware of your sexuality, it can be a weapon. It can be something that you use as a really easy tool of getting attention. I mean, have you guys experienced, like, being women, I mean, like, who, once you become aware of your sexuality and like aware of the like power attractiveness can have, I mean.
So you come from the vantage point of these women clearly know what they're doing.
No, I'm saying that there are multiple audiences. I think there are some women who know exactly what they're doing. And I think he addressed that. And honestly, they might know what they're doing, but they might not. And the deeper issue, I think, going on in all of this is communicating to women the value that they have in Christ, who they are, the fact that they are co-heirs with Christ, that they have value, and that their bodies have value, and that they were created to be more and to be known for more than just their bodies. Because I think the fact is, our culture communicates consistently to women that the value you have is in your sexuality and is in your body. Right. And on a bad day, if we don't communicate to women, like, we can communicate either way. Like, either we want you to cover up your sexuality and that's the only thing we see from you, or culture is saying we want to expose your sexuality and that's the only thing we see from you. And the great thing we have as a church is to be able to come alongside women and say, no, you have more to offer as a woman than just your sexuality. And that's why we're encouraging you to think about what you're wearing, to pray about it, and consider who you are in Christ and how you're representing that.
Mm-hmm. And realizing just exactly what, how dangerous it is to wear like, you know, super revealing clothes and really what that does or what, how distracting it can be to someone preaching even. Because I think some people don't even realize just how like, it really is a weapon. And it really like, if you're wearing super short shorts, like, that could like cause someone to like just to be distracted. You know, there's some girls that walk in and I think like, gosh, like that's distracting to me. And I'm a girl. Like this is, you know, so like having girls realize just how dangerous it really can be and how powerful it really is. And I don't think girls really realize it, or else I don't know if they would wear as bad of stuff as they do.
Yeah, I think that's the hard part. It's like I've heard this, you know, what you don't know, you don't know, you mm-hmm. don't know, you know, and it's like, if you don't know it and it's an uncomfortable conversation for a friend to have with you, you know what I mean? How does that, where's the course correction? And so there may be people in the audience that hear that sermon and go, well, I dress fine. You know what I mean? Nobody's looking at me. Mm-hmm. And I would go, I adamantly disagree with that. But I just think, how do you get somebody who, like you said, is unaware to become aware?
And I think that's why you have to address a deeper issue, because ultimately the way a woman dresses isn't about just her sexuality. It's about what's going on mm-hmm. inside of her and the way that right. she feels about herself and her body and that connection. So to me, it's much more about like, let's empower women who are believers and let's understand, let's have grace for women who aren't believers mm-hmm. in our midst and who may have never been to a church and never grown up with, like, there is a very liberal standard even now for what moms are wearing when they go pick up their kids at school. So, you know, so let's have grace with people who have a different cultural standard. But women who are believers, let's empower them to make decisions that are, that respect themselves and ultimately respect Christ and respect their bodies. Whoa.
How much of obviously culture plays a big part of it. How much do you think I wonder if it's not even necessarily worldly culture, because I don't think anybody would go like, yeah, I totally dress like people from the Jersey Shore or the Hills or whatever that is. I sometimes feel like it's a city culture more than it is a what they're seeing on TV or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think people will go, oh, that's cute, that's cool. But nobody's dressing like Kim Kardashian at the Well, maybe. Maybe a one or two people are. But people, there's a maybe a this is okay in Fresno, so therefore I can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at a distinct disadvantage because it's a million degrees outside. So mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, they do dress like Kim Kardashian in the sense of like a totally see-through top with just a bra on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's kind of standard.
Brad told me one time that over one of the summers, the Fig Garden campus, maybe, they turned the heater or the AC down yeah. to like almost 60 degrees so that women would bring a sweatshirt to church because it was getting like super bad. Yeah. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. I obviously come from the other side. You know, you guys aren't stumbling over me. So,
I mean, I would say, I'm not saying that we are stumbling over you by speaking here, but like, I think it's important that there are women who do struggle visually yeah. as well to mm-hmm. not acknowledge that part of the population is hard. Like, I've known women.
Women
that
struggle visually seeing men.
Yeah, there's, okay. I mean, like, a lot of the stats say at least 20% of, like, the population of women are visual mm-hmm. and do struggle over that. And there are some guys who are wearing super tight shirts to church or yeah. super tight tank tops now that tank tops are big.
Or super tight jeans. That's an issue.
Just huh. Yeah. Tight clothing in general.
So it could be the concept of head coverings. I mean, it's not addressing guys per se, but I think this is an issue for guys to be aware of as well.
Yeah, because the root issue that girls have when they're dressing in it like immodestly is the same root issue that guys have when they're dressing like super tight clothes. They want to show off their mm-hmm. biceps that they just
Suns
worked
out
or whatever.
Guns out.
Suns out, guns out, Jane. So it's the same, like, it's the same thing. It's a, you know, being show off or wanting to show off, wanting to gain approval through your appearance. And but it's still okay to look nice. I don't want to say you look like a hobo, but you know.
Yeah.
Just where are you trying to get your approval from?
I think there's no clear line. You know, I mm-hmm. think PJ addressed this a couple weeks ago. Well, should I wear this? Can I wear this? Mm-hmm. Or can I do this? Should I do this? It's not a black and white issue.
I think because a line is set by each individual person. So my right. line for what is hard for me to look at is different from Sarah's line to look mm-hmm. that what's hard for her.
Yeah. What I'm saying is the line in the context of like, what do you put on in the morning? You know what I mean? Not what's uncomfortable for you.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying is different things cause different people to stumble. Yeah.
I might, I don't know, some girl might be wearing super short shorts and not, I mean, not to say like a guy's not going to have a hard time with that, but maybe a guy's not going to have as much of a hard time with that as some girl who wears a low cut shirt.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's different. So
that's what I'm.
I mean, like, I remember having a conversation in like junior high or high school. We had like the guys in our youth group make a list of some of the things mm-hmm. that caused them to stumble. And literally, two of the things that came up were the color red and pajama pants. Like, when girls wear flannel pajama pants, it was like, okay. Yes, women, we have a responsibility totally to, for the sake of ourselves and mm-hmm. self-respect, to dress in a way that's modest, but we are not going to be able to cause every guy not to stumble. Mm-hmm. At some point, there is a responsibility. Yeah. I think Brad addressed that. Men too.
How much of that in junior high and high school is those kids not being honest instead of saying like short shorts and really low cut shirts?
No, it was in addition to that. It's like, this is my list of 100 things that mm-hmm. caused me to stumble.
Yeah.
The color red.
If I was in junior high, I would have said something like, pajama pants were kind of on the way out, but I would have said everybody's wearing those like sweatpants that say pink on the back, but the pants are white, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I would have said. And this is a whole nother rabbit trail, but it's like, how much would I not say that's causing me to stumble because I've become numb to it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've become numb to, I've seen so many women in these sweatpants that it's just like, it's not a stumbling block for me anymore. But is that a good thing?
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is like, you could even go down the opposite rabbit trail of like, I wonder how men are causing women to stumble emotionally. Like, this is a whole different situation, but it's like, okay, well, if we equate, you know, women being attracted emotionally to men being attracted mm-hmm. physically, mm. how do you lead on someone emotionally? That's essentially like,
Our big fall, right. Just like it's the vice versa for the guys. Yeah.
And you and I talked about that this morning, Cam, of that very issue. And then just to think like, I understand the, hey, help a brother out sort of a thing. But there's also a totally different side of just lost my train of thought.
Of the girl's struggle, or that they need to take responsibility for themselves too.
Yeah, that they do need to take responsibility of, like Brad said, that guy who, like, compared the two guys, of the guy who looks, and then he looks again, and then he lingers, and then the guy who's like, oh gosh, like, that, I know that girl's there, but like, I gotta take my thoughts captive, and like, what? Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the concept between the two guys.
Yeah. So I think there's just totally different. And it wasn't appropriate for him to address the way that guys lead girls on emotionally in this context because it doesn't relate to the text. Mm-hmm. But, and I know he's bagged on the guys for that before, but there is a very fine line of guys know that they can get a girl by like calling her beautiful or like texting her a lot or giving her attention. Like that's mm-hmm. just the girl issue of the dress for a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our equivalent. But well,
finish your thought.
No.
All right. Well, then let's land the plane a little bit. This is a long conversation. We could go down 50 more rabbit trails. Yep. My argument to that would be guys and girls should not be friends.
That's not an argument. That's the solution.
Cam, thanks for sitting in and just chatting. If you haven't heard the sermon, gosh, you could talk about 20 different things about this sermon. I think we focused on two, and we almost started going down a third, and I appreciate you guys bringing that up because for me, you know, guys, we're not necessarily aware of that. Just like you say, I'm not necessarily aware of wearing something that's inappropriate.
Flannel pajama pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Red.
So,
issue.
Thanks for chatting. Up next, we're going to interview Cam, see what she's been up to over the last year and a half. And her new position, and we are excited for your new position. We want to chat about it.
So here am I, covered by your blood, and I sing. Here am I, humbled by your love and sweet forgiveness.
Ladies and gentlemen, Campbell Ecce.
Oh, I should have done the intro.
Maybe she could have gotten a raise.
Oh my God. Cam, you are the new connections director as of when?
As of last month.
So can you maybe give us a kind of a quick snapshot of what happened? How'd you come into the new role? I feel like there's a little bit of similarities between kind of how I came into my role and you came into your role. So maybe explain what the last month and a half has looked like.
And explain what you do.
Yes.
Yes. So I am...
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. I'm the connections director here at the Well. So basically the connections department is responsible for the guest experience here. So anyone who is not family at the Well, it's our job to care for those people, to come alongside them and to resource them, to provide them with info, to make sure that our place, our body is a welcoming place for them, and to help them find information on groups and teams and how to get involved here. So,
and so when we interviewed Wendy last, she was the connections director.
Yes.
So it was shortly after that, Wendy stepped down from her role. She's now full-time at the counseling center, correct?
Yes, she is full-time at the counseling
center.
And
so you kind of came into that role. Did you have to interview for that or?
Yes, we went through a full interview process. But really, I feel like I've been training for the job for like 3 years because Wendy is incredible and I've worked with her for 3 years and she's been an amazing boss and has really been bringing us up behind her the entire time. And so I felt like
prior to this, you were North Campus Connections for 2 years, maybe?
Yeah, 3 years.
Okay. And now you're kind of in this directorial role. And kind of who do you oversee? Who's your staff?
Miss Jane Fawcett at North.
What?
Hey. Layla Granada over at Clovis and at Midweek.
Who we need to get on the show.
Yeah,
she would love to be on.
We make that part of
show.
Our hours?
Yeah, I think we could work that in. Right. I mean,
it's just promoting
can
Clovis.
You get some guests to call in? That would be awesome.
Because you don't want her on the show? Oh, you want to call
like
in?
No, okay. I want to have guests interact with her. Email in.
So that reminds me of a story that we'll get to in a little bit, speaking of calling in. But
okay,
keep going.
Great. And Miss Kim File over at the Figgy Fig campus.
Okay.
And Janie Richmond running the Real Ministry back in the office. So,
if you don't know Janie, number one, I believe she has listened to every single one of these Spoutcast episodes. And she is I don't feel like she would go up to somebody and go, hey, have you checked out the Spoutcast yet? But like, I feel like she's a closet Spoutcast fan.
Yeah.
She's very much an open.
She listens every single week.
Here would be a dream of mine. And Janie, if you're listening, this is a dream of mine. Now, if you don't know Janie, what does she sign all of her emails with?
Amazing quotes from music.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
She had a Tegan and Sarah one a while ago.
I want her email signature to like have a quote from the Spoutcast and say like,
this is the Spoutcast and we're out.
Janie, you could do it.
Welcome to the Spoutcast.
It'd be cool, right? That'd be like a dream come true. Every week I'm waiting for her to, you know, do something like that. But
yeah, it's like a secret, but Janie has the best taste in music and TV.
She really
does. I mean, she kind of rivals most people on stuff. She's like, I think Christian and Janie could go toe-to-toe on some.
And but see, the problem is Janie and I like the exact same
shows. Yeah, it's true.
Like, we're both huge OC fans, My So-Called Life, huge My So-Called Life fans. So it's like, she knows shows, and I'm like, wow, I'm shocked
that
you love that show.
What's that zombie show she likes?
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. Yeah. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
I'm a fan.
Okay.
Yes.
And she's a really good writer. She has a great novel.
She is.
Let's just turn into the Janie show.
Janie's going to be the most embarrassed that we talked about her for this one.
I know, she's
going to
hate it.
Now, Cam, have you been enjoying your new job?
I'm loving my new job. Because I was at the North Campus for 3 years, I never got to see Clovis. I hadn't been to Fig in 2 years. So it's been great for me. I went to Kingsburg this last week out in K-Town. Cool. So I get to be a little mobile, which is great.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the great things about kind of seeing your role from one side for a really long time, and then now being a director, you're able to see it holistically, and I think it's cool. That's kind of what I experienced as well. Just the concept of, wow, I haven't been to Fig in a long time. This is great. Like, I'm able to go here and do something different. So
yeah, it's pretty incredible to see the way that the ministry plays out in different communities, I think.
Now let's talk about your husband.
Let's talk about my God.
What have been some of the challenges as moving into a director's role? Has there been any challenges? It's a different role. It's a different, I'll say this. Brad told me this, and I believe it's true, that the higher you climb in the leadership ladder, the more people kind of can see your backside.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, man, this is, it's been a learning curve, but it's been really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I'm so fresh into the position, but I think already I'm used to a very like prescribed job. Like I had tasks I need to get done, and they got done really quickly. And this is much more nebulous, I think, in some ways, of like really driving and initiating a lot on my own. And I think that I'm really enjoying that process, but like last week I finished my week. I'm like, man, I'm so used to having like 180 things I've crossed off my to-do list this week. And this week has been spent more like doing research and background and really kind of spending some time resourcing these guys to do their job. So it's a different role. And sometimes that can, that's been the thing that's been the biggest change so far, is trying to figure that out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were on the website today, like they're promoting like different staff members, and there's a photo of you, and it's like, hey, meet Cam or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people liked that.
Yeah.
That is very nice of them. I
I was going to write, I told Jesse, I was like, I'm going to write like E-H, and Jesse was like, no, don't do that.
No.
It was funny. Now, Cam, we typically, you know, when guests come on, I've shared experiences with guests. We've been on staff now 3 years.
Yeah.
So I've noticed a couple things over the years and wanted to address here on the show, tell a story that may or may not have been told before. But do you remember when I covered the phones?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I was trying to be, a servant leader and serve the ladies on staff and say, I would gladly cover the phones during the lunch hour, because back then there was Stacy used to cover the phones. Yeah. And so I was like, I could do that. No problem. You guys decided to play a trick on me.
Yeah. Was this like your second week? I feel like it was really early on when you came on staff.
Not second week. I was probably 4 or 5 months in.
Still okay. Pretty early.
Pretty much a new guy. Yeah. We decided that it would be really funny to prank call the office while you're covering phones, I believe.
So you prank called as basically a woman who believed that there was some sort of demonic spirit in your house.
Potentially, yeah. I wasn't sure if I saw a ghost or...
Yeah, I think you saw a ghost.
But I wasn't sure about the demonic effects.
And you wanted a pastor to come over and pray at your house and pray for you. And
how did you describe your voice?
Sounding so terrible. Well, I tried to, what played to my advantage was I was laughing, but I was kind of choking it back. So it sounded like I was choking back tears. So,
Man. Great. You were so convincing. I was like, I just thought, like, literally Scott Carolyn walks by and like, ma'am, do you mind if I can put you on hold for just one moment? And you're like, okay, sure. And like, I put you on hold. I'm like, Scott, get over here! And like, I like grab Scott and I'm like, this woman, there's a ghost. And like, and then I was like, Scott,
Christian,
I need a pastor.
He has like real tears in his eyes right now.
I'm like, Scott, I need a pastor. And he's like, you are a pastor. And like, Wendy walks by and Wendy's like, what's up? And I'm like, this woman, it's a ghost in her house. I don't know what to do. And Wendy's like, well, you guys are pastors, deal with it. I'm like, okay. And then I, hello, ma'am, you know?
And like, you're like, what, 22 at this time?
I'm 21 at this time.
Oh, just a kid.
And there's a room of like 25 women, by the way, having lunch together, listening to this phone call and speaker. Oh, people were walking out of the room.
And so as I return onto the phone, I'm like, all right, ma'am, I'll pray for you right now. And I will, if we need us to come over to your house, we can go do that.
I mean, this is about the time that I felt like the worst person on the face of the
earth. Right. And as I started praying, you were like, hey, it's just me. And you guys started giggling. I'm like, oh boy.
Have you ever gotten her back for this?
I'm not much of a prankster, so I will never get people back. If you could pull 1,000 pranks on me, I'd never do it back.
Except that one time you pranked Jeff Bachman, because...
What did I do to Jeff Bachman?
Did you, like, drink all of his sodas and left them in his fridge?
Wait, didn't Jeff Bachman do that to you?
I would argue that it's not a...
Jeff Bachman did that to
That's not a retaliation or anything. Okay. That was me... thinking this was the funniest thing in the world. I'm gonna drink all 72 of his sodas in the course of 2 days and put them all back in his fridge empty.
That's exactly what a prank is. Or a joke to play at someone.
But that wasn't me like trying to like maliciously do anything.
Okay, all right, we can move on.
Let's move on. From there. But you guys were laughing and I literally like oh, my heart just like sank. I'm like, thank God.
In your defense, you did really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were really great.
And I remember you and a couple other staff members who are more harmonizers. Like, are you okay? Like, Christian, I'm so sorry. Cam, that was Cam's idea. You know, like totally selling you out.
Yeah, pretty bad. When I think it was definitely a group effort.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Now, Cam, I've noticed something about you, and I'd like to address it on this public forum. Oh, is that all right?
Yeah, this sounds like a healthy way to do it.
I have a lot of faults in my life, all right? And I would argue that I notice things that I probably shouldn't notice. And I see things and I go, why do I see that? Or why do I notice that when I shouldn't notice it? But do you find yourself to be a cleanly person around
no,
your desk?
No, I have
area?
A disaster of a desk. Absolutely, at all times.
Now, does that bother you?
Not one bit.
Really?
Not one bit. I probably clean it about once every 3 months. I mean, it's pretty bad.
You put your desk right up against the window. And so every time I walk back to the creative desk, I look at your desk and I go, and I just keep walking. And like...
All the post-it notes.
I mean, you know what? At the end of the, if like physically, I have a problem with it not being clean. So like, there's not like dirty, like I wouldn't have a dirty dish there. But like,
you had a dirty dish there the other day. You had the lid of your smoothie there the other day. But, you know, it's like, hey,
it got cleaned. It got cleaned in like within a couple hours. But.
That doesn't bother you. That's the question I want to ask. Yeah, it doesn't really like, you don't feel like every day you come to work like, oh, everything's like a disaster. You go, everything's exactly where it should be.
No, I don't care where everything is. I think that's it. I'm not really thinking about it. Because I feel like so much of my work is focused on my computer that if stuff is scattered around, I don't really even notice.
But Andrew, I feel like, is a very meticulous person.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
So how does that work?
So at home, I'm very respectful to him. So like there are certain areas of my life that are kind of disastrous. My car is never perfect, pretty much. And my desk is pretty much never perfect. But like... at other areas of life, but he's also very gracious with me. So like there's a chair in our bedroom that always has clothes on it pretty much. And he's very sweet about it. And I try to keep it clean as much as possible.
The beauty of marriage.
Yeah. It's just balance.
Just people need to get to know you a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
And I don't know if I've ever told you that or if you've seen me stare at your desk and go.
In disgust.
And just start gagging.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, I'll be in somebody's car and it'll be dirty and I'm like, I don't get it. But I have certain areas of my life that are dirty and it's like, that doesn't bother me. Don't ever what?
She's about to say don't ever ride in my car.
Don't ride with Sarah.
But I do have to say my car has been clean for a month since I got a new car.
Good for you. Yeah.
But it used to be this. Every time I get in her car, sorry, my car's just, it's just a mess. Sorry. I've just been really busy.
Sorry. I feel the need to apologize.
It's all right. Yeah. Now, Cam, kind of two quick things. One, you have a website that people should check out, iHeartFresno.
Yeah, iHeartFresnoCA.com.
All right, you should check that out. It's a great website.
Something else people need to check out.
Okay.
Cam Ross recently wrote a blog about... it's great.
On the Wells website.
Actively waiting.
That's it.
On the Wells website.
It was very, very good.
So check that out on our blog segment. Plus, if you do want to get involved in Connections, what are some teams that Connection directly oversees?
Connections directly oversees Link, First Touch, Cafe ADOT, and Parking. So if you want to get involved in any of those ministries, we also oversee the Discovery team directly. So we are always looking for people to join us in what we're doing. So feel free to contact us. Yeah.
Okay. Are those the only teams that you guys cover? Or I thought it was all ministry teams.
Well, we connect people to all ministry teams.
I see.
So
okay.
We shepherd directly those.
I see.
So Cam isn't going to do, you know, an interview process for a WSM leader. But if somebody wants to lead WSM, their first kind of line of defense is you. And that's going to get passed off to me.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I told you this the other, we had a great interaction the other day where you met somebody who wanted to be involved in WSM. Yeah. You came up to me and you said, this is Christian right here. And I introduced myself to her and we're going to meet now. And it's like, that was like golden. That doesn't happen all the time.
That's why she's the director.
One of the things we love in Connections is helping people who don't know what they want to do or what they're gifted in or what their passion is find a place to serve, because there is a right fit for everyone in ministry. God's gifted anyone. If you have accepted Christ, you are gifted for ministry somewhere. So we love meeting with people and figuring out where that is. So Rachel was one of those gals that we got to meet with on Sunday, and that was awesome to get to help her find a place to serve. So.
If you don't know who Cam is, you've never seen her face, one, check out the picture from today. Two, try and find someone like a Jane or a Layla or a Kim.
Yeah,
and they're really, Cam oversees them, but they're the people at the campuses that you're going to see on a week-to-week basis. And if you want to get plugged into a ministry, obviously go and find one of them. If you don't know what they look like, just ask around, and they usually are up at the front.
You could also Facebook stalk them.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, they all have Facebook.
Yeah. You're not going to get very far with me.
Well,
see what you look like.
Don't stalk too hard.
Yeah, sorry. That's creepy. That.
Super creepy.
All right, Cam, thanks for coming by today. Up next, we'll close out the show with some announcements. And I do apologize for this episode being very long, but I also, I'm having a lot of fun here with you, Cam. So,
Sorry, not sorry. Glad you're having fun with us, Christian.
I have fun with you guys all 58 of the last 58 weeks. So this is episode 59, I'm going to have fun with another guest, all right? Stay tuned for some announcements.
Say my name.
Welcome back. Once again, Cam, thanks for sticking around this episode. We, once again, I've mentioned this last couple of weeks, we're not going to be doing announcements at the end. We're just going to really be highlighting the website and kind of what's on the website and how you can find things on the website. And one of the things that I believe this past week, I think everybody should listen to the sermon. It's a great sermon. It's different. Most churches don't go through this passage per se or this concept per se. So if you don't know where to find sermons, it's very simple. You would go on the website. Okay.
Thewellcommunity.org.
Thewellcommunity.org. And then basically there's a home or there's an about us. There's a well life. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. That's you under
just,
about us.
You just okay. listed a whole lot of tabs.
There's get connected. There's...
about us and
media
and then there's
giving.
The media button and on the media button you scroll down and you can click the sermons button and you can find sermons dated back all the way to 2007. And so you can get those sermons and you can download this sermon on headship this week. Yes?
I just want to give a shout out at the end. I didn't think
okay,
you were
go
gonna...
for your shout out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just found out that a childhood best friend of mine who lives in Mexico now with her family as missionaries, she listens to the Spoutcast because she likes to hear sermons in English. And so she only gets a few of those. And then this is kind of like a good sermon processor, you know, type of forum. She didn't go to the well when she hasn't lived here in like 6 years, but she listens to the Spoutcast so she can listen to English.
She
so,
has a really cute baby.
And she has a really
What's
beautiful.
What's her name?
Her name is Megan and the baby's name is Penelope.
Is she ever going to come back to Fresno?
So she's going to this summer.
You should have her come on the show.
Megan, you're on.
Hola,
she's
Megan.
Totally on here. Yeah.
All
and,
right.
And her husband, Nathan. I didn't bring him up either.
Check out Instagram. It's just Instagram/TheSpoutcast or Facebook.com/Spoutcast or Twitter.com/TheSpoutcast. Also, one quick thing, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, add us on iTunes. Obviously, you can listen through the website where you can see the picture from every week, but iTunes just makes it really simple, and we can get sometimes a better feel of who's listening if you go on iTunes, if you review us, all of the above. So that'd be great if you could do that. This is The Spout.
And we're out.
Is her
like something is broken, and it feels like something is wrong, and it feels like something is missing.